Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Once again, we're going to finish up today, I promise, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where we've been camping out for the past 3 weeks, and this will be the fourth. And we'll read in verse 6 where it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor." What else? Huh? Oh, come on, y'all got to be awake with me, right? What does it say? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. All right. But we're going to concentrate today on Prince of Peace. But verse 7 says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." You hear that? There'll be no end to the increase of his government or peace. His peace will be something that flows and grows and goes in your life when his government is upon you. This is interesting. "On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Only him can accomplish that. Only he can do that. Now, let me give you a word of the word prince here. Have you ever wondered? I've asked this question myself, and this is a simple question. Have you ever wondered why Jesus is called a Prince of Peace, but he's also the King of Kings? He is a king and a prince. Have you ever thought about that? Has anybody ever asked that question to God, to Google, to yourselves? Never? You guys have never questioned that? You guys never thought, how can he be a prince and be a king at the same time? You never questioned that? Wow, y'all are awesome. Only I come up with those dumb questions, right? But let me tell you something. I did come up with a question, and so many have anyway. We have questioned because, of course, you guys have such faith that you think God can be whatever he wants to be, right? And he's everything anyway, right? But let's think about this for a second. Because it is important that some people may think, well, wait a second, is he the prince or is he the king? Because God is a king over Israel. But then Jesus is called a prince that is to come. But then he is also declared king. But the word prince for us here means the son of the king, right? Or as a successor of the present or current king. That's how we take it. But before that meaning was ascribed to the word prince, it simply meant principal. You know, like at school, the principal, you know, have you ever been to a school? Have you ever been taken to the principal? How many of you have been to the principal's office? Like they took you in there. He'd say, just raise your hand if you're going to raise it, baby, okay? It's okay. I raised both of them. Oh, yeah, he could raise everything, right? He'd taken in, right? He'd been taken in to the principal. So, and who is the maximum authority at that school? The principal, isn't it? Am I right? So you think about that, and then you think, okay, so what it means is that Jesus is the principal authority. This one who is to be born is going to be the principal authority when it comes to peace. Wow. Now it all of a sudden takes a different meaning, hopefully, for you and me. It means that he is authority, he is the principal, he is the governor, who ones who govern over peace. He's got control over peace. Actually, if you think about it, Jesus has the authority over peace. He governs over peace. And if we can think a little bit even further, he is the actual source of peace, right? There's no peace without him. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. You got it, right? Okay. All right, no problem. So... Now, but we can think also in the term of prince, this prince was to be born, Jesus, that at the end, he will be given the kingdom over earth and over all and everything, right? When he comes in his second coming, right now, who is the prince of this world? You? Jesus? It's Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of this world. But there'll be a time, there's going to be a time when Jesus comes and he takes over, period. He's like, no more of you, down. You're out, period. And Jesus will be then proclaimed king, right? But this prince will come and take over and he will be the king anyway. Proclaimed by every single one of those who believe in him, and those who do not believe in him will worship and bow down before him. Every knee shall bow. Amen? Hallelujah. Hope you be there. I'll be there. Yeah, let's all be there. So the kingdom of the Messiah is a kingdom of peace. We're talking about peace like... About what kind of peace is it that we're talking about? Now, peace doesn't mean that there's no conflict, right? It doesn't mean that there's no conflict, because you can have peace and still be in conflict. You get that? There's a lot of conflict in the world, but yet you can have peace in the midst of that conflict. And we can talk about that too today. The Messiah's kingdom, there is no conflict in this kingdom. When he comes and he takes over, there will be no conflict. It will be perfect peace. Now, I want you to think about that. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7, and we're going to go all over the place here for a few minutes. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, do you have it there? Yay! To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? From the Father. The peace from the Father. Now let's go to another one. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, a little bit further along. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that peace from God, peace with God. And then let's go to another one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, which many of you have heard so many times. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, so we're talking about peace from God, peace with God, and peace of God. And those are the kind of peace. That's the kind of peace. These are all the pieces to peace. All right? So let's talk about those as we go today. All right? First of all, let's talk about that Jesus offers peace from God. Like we saw in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And we see that in some of the letters, you know, like peace from. So peace comes from God. He offers peace from God, this Prince of Peace. And you know what? The thing is, you don't have enough to buy that peace. You don't have enough to buy that peace. You don't have enough. You can go to the drugstore and buy some tranquilizers. You can buy all kinds of medicine. You can buy whatever to put you at peace. You can have a nice vacation. You can go on the best spot you can think of, or you can have peace and quiet. And you can buy all of that, and you can buy rest, you can buy some of that relaxation, but you cannot buy peace. You cannot buy peace. Now, of course, the gift of peace has already been paid for. It's already been paid for. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay for it, because it's already been paid for. You see, then it becomes that if somebody has already paid for something, and you're going to get it, and you don't have to pay for it, then it becomes what? That means that is the gift. It's a gift. The gift of peace. And you see, the peace, not only being a gift, peace is a person who is a gift. You see, it's not just something, it's someone. Peace for us is Jesus. Jesus is our peace. He is the greatest gift, and he is this person who is our peace, the greatest gift of all. So, you have to notice this in these words that Christ spoke. And I want to show you something. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 21. Look at Jesus. After his resurrection, the guys are all locked up in a room because their fear of being persecuted. It's Sunday evening. It's already, you know, the day has pretty much passed. And they're all probably worried and thinking, man, he died on Friday. Here it is. It's already Sunday. We're going to be persecuted. Something's going to happen. And all of a sudden, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Wow. Awesome. And when he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They recognized him because they saw his wounds, right? He's like, peace. Whoa. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is extremely important. You see, Jesus was telling them, you know what? You can have peace. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. It comes from God. You can have that peace. You see, and this peace is not, it's not a shallow emotion or anything like that based on the circumstances or whatever's happening in your life at the time. Because a lot of times we think that peace is when nothing's happening, right? We think that we can have peace when everything's quiet, when everything's calm. No. You see, think about it. It took his wounds. It took him going to the cross for a wounded world in order for us to have peace. And that is the one source of peace that you cannot miss. He paid for our peace. Listen, Jesus said, peace be with you. I say, peace be with you. And he showed him his side and his hands, his piercing. He showed him his scars. Think about that. I paid. You can have that peace. He is your authority over peace. He can offer that peace, and he decides as a Prince of Peace to give it away. See, God did not give us his peace so that we could sit back and enjoy it. That's another thing. See, a lot of times we think, you know, he wants us to what? To tell it to others, to give it to others, to share it with others. He doesn't want us to just have peace for ourselves and that's it. You know, we need to go out there. We can't just sit back and enjoy it and that's it. We need to tell others. We need to share the source of peace. You see, and when you share peace, that doesn't mean going out there and being nice to people. It means sharing Jesus with people because Jesus is our peace. Amen? It's not enough for you to go out there and be nice. It's not enough for you to go out there and not fight. It's not enough for you to go out there and just take whatever against you and say, okay, I'm not gonna get angry. It doesn't take all that. It takes much more. It takes sharing Jesus because he is the true peace. He gives us that peace so that we may share it. This is called a ministry of reconciliation. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, how many of you know that verse? Yeah, there you go. You see, because we are new creatures. All things have passed. Let's just go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and we're going to read all the way to verse 21. See, I don't have any powers. That doesn't work. Therefore, if anyone, who's anyone? Anyone in Christ is in Christ. He is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. What a wonderful thing. Now, check this out. Now, all these things are from who? From God. Remember, we said the peace from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You've been given a ministry. Your ministry is to go out there and help people understand that they need to be reconciled with God. Amen? Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed to you and me. We need to go out there. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have a ministry, of reconciliation. You know what that means? You need to go out there and tell people they can have peace with God. And the way to have peace with God is to have Jesus because he is peace. He offers it. He has authority over it. He is the source of peace. He is the source of true peace because he is peace and he offers it to you from God. Amen? But not only we can have peace from God, we can also have peace with God. You heard that in those verses that we just said. But let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You see, in our sinful state, we are enemies with God. We are enemies in our sinful state. Simple. But if you read a little bit further in Romans chapter 5, we just read in verse 1, that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you go a little further to verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his love in what? In that while we were sinners, he what? He died for us. This is what he did. He died for us so that we can have peace with God. See, because of Christ's sacrifice, then we are restored to a relationship of peace with God. Because of Christ's sacrifice, because he died, that's how we obtain the peace. Actually, in verse chapter 5 and verse 2, right there in Romans, everybody always reads verse 1, but we always forget about verse 2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. What a glorious thing, what a hopeful thing it is to know that we have peace with God. And this is a peace that cannot be taken away from you. This is a peace that God gives. You see, I get on my little soapbox, and this is my little soapbox that I get on many, many times, because I hate when Christians live in doubt. I hate it when Christians live in fear of God rejecting him, casting him out, when God has already paid the price for them, and they have said that they have proclaimed Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and they have believed God. I hate it when Christians, when people say, I'm a Christian, really, why? Oh, because I plead the blood of Christ of my life. I know that I can't be saved unless through the grace of God, and I believe in Jesus died for me. He was resurrected with power so that I can have a new life, and I believe him wholeheartedly. And then you ask him, well, what happens if you sin and you die? Oh, my God, I don't want to fall into that predicament. I might go to hell. What? Didn't you just tell me that the blood of Christ covers you? Aren't you assured of your salvation? Aren't you assured of God's love, that nothing can separate you from it? Aren't you assured that what God has given you as a gift, he's not going to come back and take it from you? As a matter of fact, the best thing that I can cling on is to know that he has adopted me as his child. He has adopted me. It's a legal term. He took me and gave me his name. He took me in. I am his child. Now you tell me, you go adopt a child and then go back and say, I don't want him anymore. You can't do that. You can't do that? Can I do that? No, can I? No, you can't do that. I got a lawyer over here saying we can't do that. No, you can't do that. How is God going to legally adopt us? How is God going to say, you are my child, you're my son, I'm your father, and then all of a sudden, you did not. I heard a story of a man who saw this little dog, and when he saw him, he's like, oh, man, that's a nice little dog. And he didn't see anybody around, but the dog was all mad and stuff. He's like, oh, look at him. And he started to touch him, and he wanted to get real near and pet him, but the dog was all mad and wanted to bite him and all crazy. Finally, he said, you know what? I'm going to get this dog. And he kept going and going and going until finally he grabbed him, and he held his paws, and he was his legs and everything, and he's like, oh, no, you're not biting me. And the dog just kept, wanted to just eat him. Finally, he saw that he had something, a nail in his paw. So he's like, oh, no wonder he's so angry. He pulled it out and everything. Finally, the dog kind of calmed down a little bit. He put him on the ground. The dog was kind of starting to get happy, you know, and started looking at him and just started now licking and playing around him. And everything else, you think about it, that's what God has done for us. That's what God has done for us. He's taken the sting of sin from our lives, and he has set us free. And this, we're free to love him. We're free to just simply enjoy him, and we can get around him because he's always wanting to reach out to us. Even when we're angry, mad, and sad, he's always there for us, and he's not going to let us go. You know, I can tell you another story. There was a man who was in a ship, and he fell overboard. And once he fell overboard, the ship just kept going. Nobody noticed. And he was threading water. He was trying to save himself. But the current and everything in the sea was taking him towards some rocks. And he just said, I'm going to die here. There was no way for him to be rescued. No one around. He couldn't swim to shore. He couldn't do anything until finally a very, very nice, luxurious yacht just was going by. And they noticed him. So they started to get a little close, but they couldn't get close enough because the waters were so turbulent and it was so difficult. But they went out and threw him a lifesaver. And he couldn't reach it. So the captain said, there's not much more we can do for them or for him. And the captain's son jumped overboard and swam and rescued this man. Brought him to the yacht and put him in his little room and put him in bed and gave him some blankets and covered him and ministered to him. And then gave him a cup of hot cocoa. The guy was trying to drink it, but he was shaking so much and everything that he spilled some of the cocoa on the very nice carpet of this yacht. The captain got so angry, he said, oh, no, you ain't going to do that. No way. He grabbed them by the neck. He drug them out and threw them back overboard. And this sounds a little ridiculous, right, in this story. But that's the kind of image that a lot of Christians have of God. God rescues them. And you know, God went through so much pain. God went through the pain of giving his own son on a cross for the sins of the whole wide world. And yet we think that if we spill a little cocoa on his carpet, he's going to cast us and throw us out of his yacht, throw us overboard. That is a shame that we would think that God is a father like that. Once he settled for us, and he settled it with Jesus on the cross, and we have our peace, we don't have to worry. We just have to believe. If God invested his whole heart, like John 3:16 says, then you think he cannot take some of your wrongdoings and thoughts? We have peace with God through the one who loved us and gave us life and rescue for us. So we've talked about peace from God, peace with God. Now let's talk about peace of God. Now we're talking about a little bit more practical, walking in our lives, having peace with ourselves, with others, living in peace, walking in peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, we read it a little bit earlier, but you see, and the peace of God, which surpasses all of comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Guard your heart, guard your mind. Guard your heart and guard your mind. You see, true peace has nothing to do with circumstances. Nothing to do with circumstances. I mean, the peace of God, true peace has nothing to do with whatever situation is outside of you. Nothing. It has everything to do with the condition inside of you. It's a big difference. It's not about the outside, it's about the inside. Because a person can be at peace no matter what the situation is, no matter what circumstances are, you can have peace. How is that possible? Because of Jesus Christ, because he is our peace. And if he lives within us, if he dwells in us, then we can draw upon him to be our peace. When you think of Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, you should think of his character. You should think of who he is. See, Jesus, when he walked on earth, he was a man of peace, wasn't he? Did he go out and about and just smacking people? I mean, we deserved it. And just throwing bombs at people or just casting out people? No, he kept calling us in and calling people in. Calling people in is what he did. He was a man of peace while he dwelt among us. I can think of a few things. For example, when Jesus had the 5,000 people, a multitude out there that were hungry, and his disciples says, oh man, send them home because we ain't got nothing. And Jesus loses peace? Did he lose his calm? He said, what do y'all got? Oh, we have just a little lunchbox from a kid that was walking around. He offered it. You know, kids, they do that. They offer everything they got. They don't think about the consequences. Like, okay, if I give it up, then I won't have anything, so I'm not giving it up. I keep my lunchbox. You don't play with my lunch. Just kidding, right? But this kid gave it all, or whatever. And here Jesus says, don't worry. We'll feed them. It's 5,000 people. There's only like a couple of fishes here, little sardines and some bread. Now, just go ahead and feed the people. Everybody ate. And they collected. They got the aluminum foil, wrapped it up, and took some home to mama. Right? Amazing what God does. He didn't lose his peace. You think about Jesus. While they were on the boat, and the seas were so angry, and the waves, and everything was going crazy on that boat, where was Jesus? Was he trying to fix the sails? Was he trying to get it going? Was he trying to grab the rudder and say, give me that, I have control, I am Jesus, I am the Son of God, I can make the ship go okay in these waters. No. He just went up to the bow, probably rolled up a little something, put it on his head and make it a pillow, and there you go. He went to sleep. He had peace, even though there was a storm around him. Think about that. Think about Jesus when he was told that Lazarus was death. He was dead, and yet it had been a few days, and he didn't lose his peace. He said, oh, no, we got to run. There's no way. He did weep. I don't think he was weeping for Lazarus. He was weeping for the ones around it because of their unbelief, the Bible says. But he didn't lose his calm. He was a man of peace. Think about Jesus going to Pilate, going to the priest, going to the cross, and yet he kept his peace, even to the cross. So sometimes our problem is not when we don't have peace, it's because we're asking God to change circumstances. Don't we do that? Oh my God, can you make so-and-so do this? Oh my God, I need a new job. Oh my God, I don't have enough. Oh my God, can you supply? Oh my God, and we keep going to God. Look, if you give me more, I'll have peace. If you give me the job I want, I'll have peace. If you give me the relationship I want, I'll have peace. If you give me this or that or what, and that, I'll have peace. None of it's going to give you peace. Because nothing in this world will give you peace. Circumstances will come and go. They will change, and they will happen around you. Whatever is important is that he is within you, and he gives you the peace that surpasses all comprehension, no matter what the storms of life be. Now, peaceful doesn't mean easy either. Easy going, right? God didn't say, well, now that you have believed in my son, it's all going to be easy. It's going to be downhill from now on. Actually, you know, it's uphill, and it's an uphill battle. Being a Christian, you get pointed at. You get pointed at. You get mocked. You get criticized, right? All that happens. Trials, tribulations. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you'll have all kinds of tribulations. You have all these troubles. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Have peace. No matter what the world, I mean, the world has fallen into pieces. From the shootings in our communities to the politics in our country to the wars in other countries. Yet, can we find peace in any of those leaders or anyone else or ourselves? No. The only way to have peace is with Jesus. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. There you go. So he's saying, rejoice, you'll have trials. It's like telling you, hey, guess what? You're going to have a lot of trouble. Rejoice. That's a reason to rejoice. You see, the reason why he says you can rejoice in troubles and that you don't have to fear and that you can have peace in tribulations is because in all of this, he also said, you can call upon me and I will be your help. You can call upon me and I'll be there. You tell me what's going on, I'll be there. You tell me what you're feeling, I'll be there. You tell me how you're hurting, I'll be there. You tell me whatever you tell me, I'll be there. So your peace is only a matter of believing him because he is there. You don't have to worry. As a matter of fact, we always read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. How about we read verse 6, the one before? Check it out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You tell him. And then he says, you make your request. You have, you know, all these troubles. You give thanks. You request them. And then the next verse, in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God. You see, the result. You're going through trouble. You pray. You're having some difficulties. Thank God and pray. How come you can be thankful in all those troubles? Because you can talk, you can pray to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will fill your heart and mind and help you get through whatever you are going through. So the peace of knowing him, that he is in control of everything, that means that all you have to do is trust him. All you have to do is trust. No matter what hardships you face, no matter what troubles you may encounter, you have to understand that he is powerful, that he is awesome in power, and you can depend on his strength and power for any situation. You can depend not only on his strength and his power, you can depend on his love for you. No matter what situation surrounds us, but you have to know him. Remember what I said earlier? Can you show me that last one, that last thing? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. It's as simple as that. I want to finish up by taking you to the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 14 that Ed read earlier today. I want you to think of the angelic announcement. It was an announcement of peace on earth. Peace on earth. But it's also a proclamation of two things. And one thing that it proclaimed was that peace is available for all mankind. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. See, on earth, peace. But yet, it doesn't end there. See, all of a sudden you have the last clause, and we're going, where it says, give me Luke 2:14. With whom he is what? Pleased. With whom he is pleased. And I want to make an emphasis on that for a second. Who is he talking about? Who pleases God? Because this is very important. This is directed to those whom God is pleased with. Now, how do you please God?
Well, the Ten Commandments, come to church every Sunday, read the Bible. Yeah, read the Bible, Pastor.
You can think of many, many things that please God. But we're talking about something deeper and bigger here. Please God. Remember? He was sent, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The ruling. How about thinking of having that Prince of Peace over your life? Who is he pleased with? Those who yield to the authority of his government, those who yield to the Prince of Peace, those who yield to his ruling. As a matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 147,
in verse 11. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness, those who wait, those who have hope in his mercy, his loving kindness, those who fear him. That means that we're under his authority, under his authority. See, remember that little puppy that I told you about? He didn't have peace. A lot of times, we forget that he has taken the sting of death and condemnation, and that he has given us love, mercy, and kindness, and that he's been simply the God that loves us unconditionally, and that he is in control. This little puppy, all he had to do was trust the hand of the man who carried him in his arms. All we have to do is trust the Prince of Peace, who's taken us in through his sacrifice. All we have to do is yield to his government, to his ruling in our lives. Then we can experience the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. And he will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.